So I want to ask you this morning as we begin to open your Bibles to the first book of the Bible. We're going to be looking at chapter 6. We'll be in Genesis chapter 6, the very first book of the Bible. By the way, do you know that it's been raining like crazy in the northeastern United States for almost 2 weeks steady? It hasn't stopped, just raining and raining and raining. Central Park, New York City, has received over a foot of rain since October 7th, and that news was Friday that I typed that. Friday evening I was working on this sermon and typed that in. One report expected 6 inches yesterday, in one day, 6 inches of rain. And you've probably seen pictures on the news of houses in New Jersey and those areas that are just flooded. I mean, it looks a little bit, not a lot, but a little bit like the aftermath of something like Katrina. And I wouldn't be surprised to hear that there is some white-haired, long-bearded gentleman in a robe starting construction on an ark down there, because it's really, really tough in that area. I want to talk about that white-haired, long-bearded, robed man who built an ark named Noah today. And as we're talking about stress, I want to just ask you, do you think that he had a stressful job? Let's think about that for a minute. He was instructed that the earth was so bad, God's going to wipe it out, and instructed to build a box, a huge ark, that was big enough for him, his wife, his kids, their wives, and by the way, every cotton-picking animal alive, I want at least one of those, you know? Oh, no problem. When do you want that done by, God? I can have that done by later this afternoon, maybe. That had to be an incredibly stressful job. So we're going to look at his life today. You know, there's always people, everybody thinks that their job is the most stressful. For a long time, air traffic controllers had corner of the market on the most stressful job. And jockeying those planes around in the air, that has to be a stressful thing to do. Recently, I read on the internet that teachers are considered to have the most stressful of jobs. I read that on a teacher's website. So it's got to be true, right? And then I read that management guru Peter Drucker indicated pastoring is highly stressful. In fact, he said pastoral ministry is the most frustrated of professions in America. And that's got to be true because I read that on a pastor's website, right? And I think that the fact that all of us want to put out there that our job or our life is stressful just indicates that we all feel like it is. Almost everyone feels their life is stressful. And I can guarantee you that when someone has said to you, man, my life is so stressful, you thought, your life isn't near as stressful as mine. Look at what I'm doing. I guarantee you that you've felt that sometime in your life, because all of us feel that way. In fact, this is mathematically impossible, but let me say it anyway. I would guess that 90% of us feel that our jobs are more stressful and our lives are more stressful than 90% of us. You can do the math on that later and figure out why that doesn't work. But that's how we feel, that our lives are stressful. So I want to tell you not just how to survive stress, but actually, and not even just how to rise above it, I want to tell you today how to view it so that you can make your stress work for you. Because I think Noah did that. I think Noah made the stress in his life work for him. Let's just look at a few verses from his life. Here in Genesis 6, we're going to begin reading at verse 9. This is the account of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time. And he walked with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people of the earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all the people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So, make for yourself an ark out of cypress wood. Make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you're to build it. The ark is to be 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. And make a roof for it and finish the ark within 18 inches of the top. Put a door on the side of the ark and make lower, middle, and upper decks. I am going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all the life under the heavens, every creature that has breath of life in it. Everything on the earth will perish. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark, you, your sons, and your wives, and your sons' wives with you. You are to bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. Two of every kind of bird, of every kind of animal, of every kind of creature that moves on the ground will come with you to be kept alive. You are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food with you for them. Now, here's a huge miracle. The next verse says, Noah did everything just as God commanded him. Wow. Wow. How do you think that Noah handled that assignment? I'm thinking between verse 21 that says, you're to take every kind of food to be eaten and stored in food for them, and verse 22 that says, Noah did everything God had commanded him, there was a lot of stress. I'm thinking there were huge stresses. And that's what we want to talk about, how Noah's life modeled good stress management. You all know what stress is, right? Everyone understands what stress is. A teacher assigns you homework. In fact, all your teachers assign you homework to be due on the same day, and they give it to you the same day. That's stress, okay? Or when you yourself fail to schedule your time wisely, and suddenly you realize you got a deadline coming up and you don't have enough time to do it. That's stress. I got to tell you, writing a sermon, a Sunday school lesson, and an evening sermon in the past 36 hours, which is what I did, that's stress. You understand? And on top of that, when something changes in your life, maybe you didn't have anything to do with it, but somebody changed, somebody moved your cheese, somebody changed something, that's stress. And you're thinking, man, why do they have to change all this stuff all the time? Drives me crazy when a cable company reorders the televisions on or the channels on cable, doesn't it? Change can bring stress. Now, stress has a lot of sources, and sometimes it can come from things outside of your control. It came to Noah from something outside of his control. It came from God's plan. God's plan is, I'm going to destroy the world. And I'm thinking that when God began speaking to Noah back in 13, look at verse 13. When God began speaking to him there, Noah's heart probably jumped in his throat, and then the acid glands in his stomach probably just wrenched acid into him when he heard these words, I'm going to put an end to all the people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. That had to be the most stressful words Noah had heard to that point in his life. And so sometimes stress comes into your life, as it did to Noah's life, completely out of his control, out of your control. But stresses can also come from things inside your control. If Noah had disobeyed God, he would have created for himself a whole different kind of stress. The stress of learning to tread water for months on end, right? That would be stress of his own making. And you got to know that we all create stresses of our own making for ourselves. Not balancing your checkbook can bring you financial stress. Or failure to show up at work on time can bring you vocational stress. Or failure to discipline your children with consistency and carry out what you said you would carry out when it's the right thing to do, that can bring you family stress. Stress has many sources. Some of it is from outside of us, and some of it is from inside of us. But in any case, you know what stress can do. From a negative perspective, stress can be a destroyer. You know, I had a travel trailer. You know the story that we traveled across the United States and back. I'd be in campgrounds, and I would see guys get up and walk across the roof, walking across the roof of their travel trailer. And my travel trailer had a ladder on the back, but there's no way I'm getting on that roof. You know why? Because I weigh over 200 pounds. And I've seen how those things are built. And I'm concerned that that would just be too much stress for that structure. Mike McCoy could probably tell us if it was or wasn't. But I'm not going to test it. Not with my body, because stress can destroy structures. It can destroy systems as well. If you put too much stress on a transmission of your car by hauling too big a trailer, you'll destroy the system that is called the drivetrain of your car. And maybe more seriously, stress can destroy homes. You know, in about 20 years of ministry, I've seen some trends, some tendencies that are stress-related. I've seen the tendency of families to break up under stress. Maybe a family is dealing with the death of a child, and you walk with them through that time, and a year later, they're no longer a family. The family disintegrates under stress. Or maybe a couple is building their dream home, and just about the time they're almost done, their marriage collapses under the stress of building that, and they never enjoy it together. Or a spouse goes back to college so that his family can make ends meet, and by the time that he's ready to graduate, he's graduating alone because the stress of carrying a full-time job and going to school, destroying the family. Stress can be really hard on homes. And stress can be hard on lives as well. Speaking to a friend of mine just this past week, a week ago yesterday, and he said he had been working for a stress-breathing boss. He said, it was destroying my health. I had to quit and find another job. And he did. Stress happens, and it can be a destroyer. But listen to me very carefully. That's the negative side of stress. I want you today to see a positive side to stress. I want you to see things about stress that are positive things, and that might help you understand the reason stress is in your life and help you to react to it differently. The first thing I want you to see is that stress tests us. Almost always when stress comes into your life, you're being tested one way or another. I wonder if Noah realized we'd be talking about him thousands of years later saying what a good job he did to pass the test, you know? And let me tell you, if he hadn't passed the test, we'd not be talking about him. Think about that for a minute. If Noah hadn't passed the test, we'd not be talking at all, right? Yeah, it's a test. And I believe that God tests us. He tested Abraham, and you probably know the story where he said, I want you to sacrifice your one and only son whom you've loved to me. And when the time came for the sacrifice, God said, I'm just testing you. Let the child live. Let the child live. But that was a test. And I think every stress carries with it a built-in test. And the way you score on that test really speaks loudly about your relationship with God and your spiritual maturity. If you choose to trust God through that stress, that shows up. If you keep your cool and don't blow up at somebody and lose your temper, that speaks about who you are in Christ. If you find ways to glorify God in it, that shouts that Christ is working in your heart. So number one, the good thing about stress is it's a test. And it gives you a chance to show how much you love God. Here's something maybe a little better about stress, because a lot of us don't like tests. But another thing about stress is that it refines us. It helps us become better people, better Christians. You know how to refine gold? I've never done it, but I've seen it done on television. I understand you heat up the gold, and then when it's hot, you skim off the impurities. And that heat, that stress on gold, helps it be purified. It's the same way with your life. When heat comes into your life and stress comes into your life, that's a chance for you to be purified. Wednesday evening here at prayer meeting, we watched a video of two individuals. One's name was Zona, and the other was Bobby. Got this video from the Alliance website. You can go to cmalliance.org and watch it yourself. These two people had lost everything in Hurricane Katrina. They were homeless. Their homes were gone. They were walking with what they had on their back near the area where Lois is going to be, near that Kmart parking lot where Lois is going to be ministering. And they were being interviewed, and Zona said something very important. She volunteered this information. She said, I was too proud of the material things that I had, and the only thing we should be proud of is God. And Bobby interjected, lots of times we took God for granted. And do you understand that a terrible stress, a hurricane that took their very homes, brought a sense of personal refinement to these two women. And they were actually grateful for the refinement that came from the stress. Stress can clean you up. And third, stress can actually push you. I got to think that Noah, every now and then, was listening for thunder on the horizon. You know, am I on track? Am I on schedule? He had to be wondering that from time to time. And it pushed him. You know that stress has pushed you. How would you live your life without deadlines? I would owe taxes from 1975 if it weren't for stress. You understand? But that April 15th deadline, that keeps me pushing, keeps me going. I don't like paying taxes, but there are a lot of things that have deadlines that I really want to accomplish anyway, and the stress helps me do that. When I learned this week, I volunteered to put up the emergency lights outside. Don't wiggle them. When I learned this week that my sermon wasn't even begun and the guy's coming Tuesday at 1 o'clock, I thought, oh my goodness, I got to get those lights up. Thank God for the stress that pushed me to get them done. They're up now and everything was okay. Stress is a good thing because it pushes you to get things done that you probably wouldn't otherwise get done. It can contribute to your life in a positive way. If you're going to use it to your advantage, you need to see that. Now, let me just give you four keys to handling stress in a positive way that come from the life of Noah. And I want to give you these kind of quickly, if I may. We don't know a lot about Noah. We know he was a righteous man, blameless. He walked with God. He had three boys. They had wives. They lived in corrupt times. And God was going to destroy the earth during their day. And he says, well, we just read, you got to make this ark. And from that comes my first key. If you want to use stress to your advantage, number one, you need to understand that some stress is from God. Some folks have a mindset that whenever stress comes into their life, it has to be fought and resisted or hidden from. If an employer changes the way things are done at work, then that employer is the devil himself. And I got to hide from this. That's not accurate. That employer may be under the influence of the Holy Spirit, even if he's not a Christian, just to bring something into your life that you need, and it's called stress. Sometimes stresses can be from the enemy, but sometimes they can be from God. This church believed that God was leading them to build the building that you're sitting in right now some 20 years ago. And initially, when we talked about that, it was all peaches and cream, the stories that I heard. But as time went by and I delved deeper and spoke to men and women who were involved in that, guess what I learned? I learned that stress came with the package of building the sanctuary you're in right now, and the package came from God. Stress can come from God. You've got to recognize that. This ministry wing that we felt God led us to build several years ago, we felt his leading to do that. If you've been paying attention, you know that's been stressful. The building hasn't just fallen out of the sky. Stress came with the package, and the package came from God. Sometimes stress has come right from him because he wants to refine you, because he wants to test you, because he wants to push you. Noah's call was stressful. Stress came with the package, and the package came from God. If you fail to see that the stress in your life might be coming from God, then you may flee that which you should embrace. You may resist that which you should do. You may run from challenges. You may miss the chance to participate in something bigger than yourself. So key number one, understand, stress sometimes comes from God. Here's key number two. You need to respond to stress graciously. You need to respond to stress graciously. Noah did. There's no evidence of him complaining, you know. Bill Cosby has him complaining. If you've ever heard that Bill Cosby take on Noah and the Ark, you know, at the end of it, Noah's like, you do this. No one told me that elephant was pregnant. You didn't give me any delivery manual. You know, he's got Noah complaining, but the Bible doesn't have that at all. Noah, there's no evidence that he complained at all. He handled the stress graciously. Man, I wish I did that more. I wish that when I ordered something and then went in to the store to pick it up and it was the wrong thing, that I would just look at the clerk and say, no problem, when will the right one be in? I wish that when I took my car to get it fixed and it wasn't fixed and the engine light come on again and again and again after writing several checks for several hundred dollars, I wish that I could just say, cool, what do you want to replace next? I wish that when a deadline was out there and I had to get my sermons done and my wife is saying, would you please take the air conditioners, knock the snow off of the air conditioners in the windows and put them in the basement. Would you do that, please? You know, I wish I could say, sure, sweetheart, I'd be glad to do that. But I often don't respond to stress graciously. But Noah did. And if I want to use stress to my advantage, I'm going to have to respond the way he responds to stress. The way you respond to stress really speaks about your spiritual maturity. I'll tell you a guy who knew that. His name was A.B. Simpson, Albert Benjamin Simpson. He founded the Christian and Missionary Alliance. I've heard this. I've never read it, so I'm not sure how accurate it is. But I have heard that Dr. Simpson, when he had a missionary candidate, he would tell that candidate, I want you to show up in my office on Thursday morning, be there promptly at 7 a.m. Bring your wife. Bring your kids. And so they would come, and there they'd be at 7 a.m. in the office. Dr. Simpson would roll in at about 8:30. Then he'd go in, and he'd sit down in his office while they're out in the waiting area. He'd call on them at about 11 or 11:30. And he'd say, let's have this interview now. If you responded to that interview graciously, you went to the field of your dreams to serve God. But if you responded in anger to that, Dr. Simpson says, I'm not investing the money of the Christian Missionary Alliance in you. Find another agency to send you. Now, you may think that's really rude or really wrong or whatever, and it may have been blown out of proportion because, as I said, I couldn't document it. But it shows me that Dr. Simpson understood something, that if you have Christian spiritual caliber, you will respond graciously to stresses. And if you're not responding graciously to them, then maybe you need to get on your knees and say, God, help me be more gracious. Respond to stresses graciously. Third key, key number three, adjust your stresses to make your... I'm inventing a word here. That which brings stress, I'm calling a stressor. Stressor. I don't think there is such a word, but I'm inventing it, okay? And so here's your third key. Adjust your stressors to keep yourself healthy. Okay? Now, I'm guessing that there were a lot of other things that Noah could have been doing. He could have been going down to the university, getting his degree in meteorology. That would have been helpful. He might have been taking some classes in animal husbandry. That would have been healthy. Maybe he was reading a book on sailing, or he could have been doing that. But I don't have any evidence that he did that. That's probably what a lot of us would do. But guess what? All of those things would have stressed him unnecessarily. God told him one thing, and that's what he did. Noah's plate was full enough, and chances are, if you're stressed, your plate is full enough. You don't have to find more things to do for yourself. Here's a given. If Noah had allowed himself to be overloaded with the PTA, ball games, vacation planning, and every other activity under the sun, we'd be washed up. Right? Yeah, key to adjusting, or key to using stress to your advantage is adjusting your stressors. And here's the fourth key. Look to God to help you through your stress. That might be the most important key I've given you today. Look to God to help you through your stress. I've noticed something about stress that strikes me as kind of odd, and I'm not sure that I can verbalize it correctly, because as I was trying to write it down, it just wasn't working. But try to follow me logically here. Here's what I've noticed about stress in my life and in the lives of others. That when an event comes into our life that brings with it stress, often in our hearts we respond by saying, "That's so stressful." And our response itself becomes more stressful than the event. Did that make sense? An event comes into our lives that indeed is stressful. On a scale of 1 to 10, it's a 7. And we respond and say, a 7, oh my goodness, I'll never be able to handle a 7. Oh, I won't handle a 7. And the emotional trip that we go on and spiritual spiral that we go into when we see that, sometimes that trip and that spiral itself is a 9 on a scale of 1 to 10. And a way to avoid that, and I do that, and probably you do too, the way to avoid that is when that big stress event comes in, is to say, God, going to need your help here. Don't know how I'm going to do this. I need you to help me be gracious. I need you to help me keep my head. I need you to help me manage this stress. Because I don't just want to survive it. I really want to use it to glorify you. I want to use it to show people that you've given peace that passes understanding. Make no mistake, if Noah had not relied on God, we would not be here today. God gave Noah the ability to build an ark. He gave him the power to corral animals that none of us could ever do. He gave Noah the ability to keep them happy in the ark. I don't know how he did that. And to replenish the earth eventually. And that same God helps you through your stresses if you will ask him to. The most important key to using stress to your advantage is speaking to God and asking him to help you with it. So how are you responding to stress personally? How are you doing? These keys are good, but that last one is really what we need. We really need God to act in our lives. So I want us to just take a moment, and I wonder, Margaret, could you just play quietly on the organ for a moment? I don't want us to take a lot of time, but I want us to take a moment to really think about the stresses that are in our life. You have stress in your life. For some of you, it's sitting right beside you. For others of you, you wish it was sitting beside you. For some of you, it has to do with the bank. For some of you, it has to do with your employer. or lack thereof. For others of you, it has to do with your teachers. Some of you, it has to do with your boyfriend or your girlfriend. For some of you, it has to do with your parents or your children. I could go on forever. You have stresses in your life. How are you handling them? How you doing? I want you to take some quietness before God and ask Him how He thinks you're doing. And then I want us to commit those specific stresses to Him in prayer. You know what? Just so we can focus our brains, and because I feel like I've been sitting for a long time, let's stand together. Okay, I haven't been sitting at all. But you have. Okay, now just with your head bowed, your eyes closed, here's what you're doing again. You're saying, God, what are my stresses? How am I responding to Him? How am I doing? And then you're going to commit them to Him. It's your family, friends, job, church, sickness, whatever it is. As we pray together, I'm going to ask Laurel and Jim to come to the platform because we're going to sing the last stanza of that hymn. But let's unite our hearts in prayer. Father in heaven, You have heard our hearts this morning. And we know that sometimes we really resist reacting correctly to stresses, and therefore even make more stresses happen in our lives. Forgive us for doing that. Forgive us for trying to handle them even by ourselves. In Your word, You have instructed us that You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee, whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in Thee. And Peter said, cast all your cares on Him because He cares for you. And so, Jesus, we cast our cares on You. We ask You to make us victorious through the stresses in life so that we might come out on the other side of great storms onto dry ground with dry feet, building an altar unto You and worshiping You for the way You've carried us and made us victorious through the storm. It is so sweet to trust in You, Jesus, just to take You at Your word and just to rest upon Your promise and just to know that Your word, thus saith the Lord, is good enough. Jesus, how we do trust You. We have proved You over and over again. We would ask You for grace to trust You more. In your hymnal, number 291, you'll find the words, 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. I want us to sing, I'm so glad I learned to trust Thee. Hymn number 291.